Things have changed too, huh?
Yeah, a little bit. We're gonna hit this year where I really predict by January, and maybe it will take the first quarter, the landline number will cross the internet number.
Really?
Mm-hmm. A lot more internet than landline. We had some like 13,000
exhibits.
Yeah, huge.
Maybe interior, maybe not. I'm not sure at this point, but that's a comprehensive list of everything.
That's all the testimony.
Who's going to give the testimony?
So, this is from the division.
But yeah, we're not going to have that, all those witnesses now. We just have one witness on the stipulation.
Okay. Who is the witness?
Phil Duncan.
Okay.
Usually they submit all the testimony anyway.
You can't really embellish that one much.
Oh, the Bedford. Yeah, the administrative
luncheon.
Does it cost a
so it's out past the.
Right.
They use one plus.
All the time, guys.
Where's their hammer?
Yeah.
We have a hat.
I'm just thinking that it's the hat, like, and here we've got some slightly harsh.
Part of our DSM program here.
Like, we have this whole thing about conserving energy in the whole building, and then we come to this here. So, is it your opinion that she did not vacate the public witness hearing?
Originally, it was vacated, and then I looked on the schedule this morning, it was back on. I mean, originally it said canceled.
Oh, because I reread the order, and it looked like all the deadlines had been vacated, but not the public witness hearing. I'm sure no one will come.
No one will come, but it is on the schedule.
Before we go on the record, I'm sorry, I'm Mike Hammer.
I'm Suzette Snyder.
Hi, Suzette. Would you prefer the witnesses take the stand, or are you comfortable if they testify from counsel's table?
That's fine, as long as they speak loudly enough.
Okay, thank you. We'll go ahead and go on the record then. Good morning. This is the time and place notice for hearing in the matter of the application of Emory Telephone for an increase in Utah Universal Service Fund support, commission docket number 1504201. My name is Mike Hammer, and I am the commissioner's designated presiding officer for this hearing. Jenny Johnson had an unavoidable conflict and could not appear. Let's go ahead and take appearances, please.
Kira Slauson from Blackburn Stahl on behalf of Emory Telephone, and with me is Brock Johansson, the CEO from Emory Telephone.
Thank you, Ms. Slauson.
And I'm Justin Jetter with the Utah Attorney General's Office. I represent the Utah Division of Public Utilities. And with me at council table here is William Duncan with the Division of Public Utilities.
And do we have a representative from the office here, at least officially?
Not officially, no, we're here to observe.
Okay, thank you. We are streaming this hearing today over the internet. Some of the documents that have been filed with the commission have been designated as confidential. I'd advise the parties that if they think a witness needs to testify as to confidential matters, to bring that to my attention so that we can deal with it appropriately. And with that, I believe it's the company's application, so we'll ask Ms. Slauson to proceed.
Thank you. I will call Brock Johansson to the stand, or have him testify if you want to have him sworn.
Mr. Johansson, are you more comfortable remaining where you're seated?
Whatever you would like.
That's fine with me. Do you swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth, sir?
Yes.
Please proceed.
Good morning, Mr. Johansson. Can you please state your name and position with Emory Telephone for the record?
My name is Brock Johansson. I am the CEO of Emory Telephone. My business address is 445 East Highway 29, Orangeville, Utah 84537.
And what is the purpose for your testimony here today?
I will offer support for the settlement stipulation in the petition for an increase in USF distribution filed by Emory Telephone in this matter, and confirm the company's belief that the settlement stipulation and the USF distribution agreed to in the settlement are in the public interest.
Mr. Johansson, did you file testimony in this matter?
Yes, I filed testimony to address the current revenue requirement of Emory Telephone and to offer support for the information contained in the company's application for an increase in Utah Universal Service Fund distribution.
And did anybody else file testimony on behalf of Emory Telephone?
Yes, Darren Woolsey, our CFO, and Douglas Meredith, our consultant from JSI.
Can you summarize Emory Telephone's application?
Yes, as indicated in detail in the testimony filed in this matter by the company, Emory is currently experiencing a revenue deficiency, which it seeks to recover from an increase in its annual disbursement from the Utah Universal Service Fund.
Can you provide the commission with a brief history in this application?
Yes, on March 27, 2015, Emory Telephone filed a petition for an increase in its USF distribution and supporting testimony seeking an increase of approximately $739,000 in additional annual Utah USF support. After filing the application for USF, the Division of Public Utilities and the Office of Consumer Services issued several data requests and reviewed the books, records, and operations of Emory Telephone.
Did the Office of Consumer Services and the Division of Public Utilities file testimony in this matter?
Yes, the Division and the Office filed testimony in this case, and Emory filed rebuttal testimony. Subsequent to filing of the direct testimony of the Office and the Division, the parties engaged in settlement discussions.
And was a settlement reached?
Yes, Emory Telephone reached a settlement with the Division of Public Utilities, which resulted in the stipulation that was filed by the Division of Public Utilities and Emory Telephone on September 10th, 2015.
And are you familiar with the terms of the September 10th, 2015 stipulation?
Yes.
Okay, I'd like to briefly go over the terms of that stipulation. In paragraph 5 of the stipulation, the parties agree that for purposes of settlement, Emory's present tariff charges do not provide sufficient revenues to cover Emory's 2014 test year costs to provide basic telephone service to its customers. This has resulted in a revenue shortfall. Can you tell us, is Emory currently receiving or experiencing a revenue shortfall?
Yes, Emory's cost to provide basic telephone service to its customers are in excess of its rates, resulting in a revenue shortfall. The parties have agreed that for purposes of settlement, Emory is entitled to an increase in its annual USF distribution in the amount of $550,000 or $45,833 per month to permit Emory Telephone to continue to provide telecommunication services at just and reasonable rates and to recover its reasonable cost of service and a reasonable rate of return on the value of its property devoted to public use.
And did you reach an agreement regarding the costs that Emory Telephone incurred in bringing this application?
Yes, the parties also agreed that Emory would be entitled to a one-time lump sum disbursement from the UUSF in the amount of $35,928 to cover the reasonable costs associated with Emory's application for attorney's fees and consulting fees.
Have you provided the division with documentation supporting the costs incurred by Emory for its attorney and consultant fees that would support the request for one-time lump sum distribution for these costs?
Yes, we provided invoices which set forth the amounts we have incurred for attorney's fees and consultants in this matter.
And do you believe that the books and records and the testimony that has been provided in this case support the increase in the Utah Universal Service Fund distribution?
Yes.
Upon approval of, if the commission were to approve this stipulation, upon approval, what would be the total amount of the Utah Universal Service Fund that Emory would be receiving on a monthly basis?
Emory is currently receiving $46,750 a month. Upon approval of the increase, Emory will be receiving $92,583 per month from the Utah Universal Service Fund.
Does the stipulation filed by the parties in this matter contemplate when such increase in Universal Service Fund disbursements would be made?
Yes, the parties have agreed that it is just and reasonable that the increase in monthly UUSF payments begin as of August 1st, 2015. The August and September payments shall be made in a lump sum payment together with one-time lump sum payment from the UUSF for reasonable costs associated with the application.
And does the stipulation identify when these initial payments, the payments for August, September, and the rate case costs would be paid?
The parties agreed for purposes of settlement that the payments for the increase for August, September, and the one-time sum for costs will be paid within 7 days of the date of the release of the commission's order approving this stipulation. Thereafter, monthly payments that include the current amount and the increase will be disbursed from the Utah Universal Service Fund under the usual and customary procedures of the commission on or around the first day of each month.
I want to talk to you a little bit about your application. Is Emory Telephone charging the base affordable rate that has been set by the Utah Public Service Commission?
No, Emory Telephone is a cooperative telephone company. Currently, its rates are $15 for residential service and $24.50 for business services.
And is Emory Telephone going to raise its rates to the affordable base rate?
No, we believe that the economic realities in Emory County will not support a rate increase, so we are not seeking a rate increase at this time.
And can you elaborate on what you mean by the economic realities in Emory County?
Carbon and Emory counties, where we provide service, have experienced a severe economic downturn. We've had some mine closures and one of the power plants has closed. Economically, our area is very depressed, and we don't think that the economy or our customers would support an increase in rates.
Have you addressed those economic concerns in your application for Utah Universal Service Fund? I mean, are you asking the Utah Universal Service Fund to pay more to subsidize your lower rates?
We have addressed them. And your second question, no. We're not asking the UUSF to pay more to subsidize the lower rates. Our application imputed the revenue we would have received from a rate increase to the affordable base rate. In other words, as demonstrated by the testimony, the company imputed the revenues that the company would have received from charging the base affordable rate. The stipulated settlement is based on that imputation of income. Therefore, the Utah Universal Service Fund is not being used to subsidize our cooperative decision not to raise rates at this time.
And do you believe that an increase in the annual Utah Universal Service Fund distribution in the amount of $550,000 is just and reasonable and in the public interest?
Yes.
Is the Office of Consumer Services a party to the settlement stipulation?
The office is not a party to the stipulation, but they do not oppose the settlement or the stipulation. In paragraph 4 of the stipulation, the office authorized the parties to represent that the office will not oppose the stipulation.
And one last question for you. Are you aware of any customers or ratepayers who object to this stipulation?
No.
I have no other questions.
Thank you, Mr. Johansson. Mr. Jetter, do you have any questions?
No questions from the division. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Any other witnesses, Ms. Lawson?
No.
Mr. Jetter.
Before I call Mr. Duncan, just a quick question for the hearing officer. Would you prefer that we go through all of our evidence and enter into the record here? We don't normally do that in these type of cases, but we've prepared a witness and exhibit list and a set of exhibits if you prefer them on the record, or if not, I'm not sure it changes anything for us as far as our support for the stipulation.
Are these materials that have previously been submitted to the
yes.
commission? Okay. I suppose I have to defer to your discretion in terms of putting on your case.
Okay.
You know, I don't strongly have a preference. Candidly, I'm sort of a last-minute substitution, and I'm not
okay.
really up to speed on all the issues here. I'm here more as a facilitator for the presentation of evidence on the record. So if you prefer not to put that evidence into the record, you think that's appropriate, that's certainly fine by me.
Okay. In that case, I would like to call my first and only witness, Mr. William Duncan.
Mr. Duncan, do you prefer to stay seated where you are?
Yes, I
okay.
prefer that.
And do you swear to tell the whole truth and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Thank you. Please proceed.
Mr. Duncan, would you please state your name, occupation, and address for the record?
Yes, my name is William Duncan. I'm the manager of the telecommunications section at the Utah Division of Public Utilities. My business address is 160 East, 300 South, Salt Lake City, 84114.
Thank you. I think I would like to enter this into the record to create a complete record. So I'm going to ask you a few questions about what's been filed by the division in this docket. Did you have an opportunity to review the application filed by the company in this docket?
Yes, I did.
And did the division file direct testimony from William Duncan, rebuttal testimony from yourself, William Duncan, direct testimony from Joseph Hallowell, supplemental direct from Joseph Hallowell, rebuttal from Joseph Hallowell, and direct testimony from Casey Coleman?
Yes, we did.
And have you reviewed all of that testimony that's been filed by the division, as well as the exhibits that were attached thereto?
Yes.
And Would you adopt the testimony today of Joseph Hellwell, as well as Casey Coleman, that's been filed in this docket?
Yes.
And along with those testimony and your own that you filed in this docket, if you were asked the same questions in directed the rebuttal testimonies, would your answers be the same?
Yes, they would.
So with that, the division would move to enter the direct rebuttal of William Duncan, along with DPU exhibits attached thereto, and direct and rebuttal, as well as direct supplemental of Joseph Hellwell, along with those exhibits, as well as Casey Coleman direct testimony and exhibits.
Thank you for taking the time to lay the foundation. They're admitted.
Thank you. So those entered, I'd like to move on to the stipulation that we're here to seek approval for today. Mr. Duncan, have you prepared a statement from the Division of Public Utilities?
Yes, I have.
Please go ahead.
The Utah Division of Public Utilities supports the settlement stipulation filed with the Public Service Commission of Utah on September 10th, 2015, and requests that the Commission approve the stipulation as filed. The settlement stipulation resolves all issues associated with this docket. The division believes that this settlement is just, reasonable, and in the public interest. On March 27, 2015, Emory Telephone filed its application for USF support with the Public Service Commission of Utah. During the ensuing months, the division conducted a thorough review and audit of the books and records of Emory Telephone. Throughout that time, the division issued 4 data requests seeking more information. These data requests were promptly answered. The division also worked informally and in a collaborative manner with Emory when clarifications or explanations were needed. As a result of this investigation, the division proposed some adjustments to Emory's request. On September 3rd, 2015, the division, the Office of Consumer Services, and Emory Telephone met in settlement discussions. As a result of these discussions, the division and Emory were able to resolve the issues and come to a mutually agreeable solution. The result of that agreement is presented in the settlement stipulation. The division has reviewed this case using the same standards that have been applied in other Utah Universal Service Fund requests and believes that the amount presented in the settlement stipulation of an additional $550,000 per year will allow Emory to recover its operating costs and earn a fair return on its investment. The division has also reviewed the invoices submitted for rate case expenses and believes that the amount of $35,928.05 accurately represents the legal and consulting costs incurred by Emory in this Utah Universal Service Fund request. For these reasons, the division believes the settlement stipulation as presented is just, fair, is reasonable in result, and is in the public interest, and requests the Commission approve the stipulation.
Thank you. Are you aware of any parties that have objected to the approval of this stipulation?
No, I'm not aware of any.
Thank you. I have no further questions for Mr. Duncan.
Thank you. Ms. Lawson?
No further questions, but I guess in order to make the record complete, I would offer the admission of the testimony of, or the application of Emory Telephone, the testimony of Brock Johansson, testimony of Darren Woolsey, the rebuttal testimony of Darren Woolsey and Douglas Meredith in this matter. And if you'd like, I could call Mr. Johansson to lay foundation for those documents.
They'll be considered received into the record. It's up to you in terms of the weight you want to support them with. If you want to call your witness back and have him aver to the veracity of the testimony of the witnesses who aren't present, that you're certainly welcome to do that.
Certainly. Mr. Johansson, have you reviewed the application of Emory Telephone that was filed in this matter?
Yes.
And have you reviewed your direct testimony filed in this matter and the direct testimony of Darren Woolsey filed in this matter?
Yes.
And have you reviewed all of the exhibits that were attached to the direct testimony of Darren Woolsey?
Yes.
And have you reviewed the rebuttal testimony of Darren Woolsey and the attachments thereto?
Yes.
And have you reviewed the rebuttal testimony of Douglas Meredith that was filed in this matter?
Yes.
And have you reviewed the exhibits exhibits attached to Mr. Meredith's testimony?
Yes.
And if called, does the company adopt the statements and the answers that were filed, prepared in the testimony as its answers to those questions if they were asked here today?
Yes.
Thank you. No further questions.
Okay, thank you. Those documents are received and admitted. Is there anything else the parties would like to address before we adjourn to await the public witness hearing at noon?
Nothing further from the division, Your Honor.
Nothing further.
Okay, well then we'll be adjourned until noon. Thanks.
Off the record, are we off the record?
We're off the record.
Typically, the Office of Consumer Services assists with the public witness. I don't think we're anticipating any. And the order was not clear if you were going to hold it open for a period. It just simply scheduled it for noon. So I wanted to ask what your intention was in terms of how long we would wait to see if somebody arrived.
My inclination would be that it wouldn't be necessary to wait more than 10 minutes, but I can confirm. I think we have a quorum of commissioners present there.
No, it's like 90 degrees. It was 90 degrees on Saturday.
So.
No, dear.